for joining us for this January 26, 2002 edition of Wise and Witty Travels with your host, Diana Wally and Billy Sage. Today's guest will be Wally Amos. So glad to have you with us on the HerNet Radio. Now sit back and enjoy this exclusive presentation.
Everyone, you're tuned in to the Wiley and Sage Show with Dr. Diana Wiley, psychotherapist, board-certified sex therapist and gerontologist, and me, Bill Sage, alleged humorist. We're combining talents to bring you wise and witty journeys on sex and other subjects. That's right, we're exploring all aspects of aging with fun and wisdom. And now here's your host, Dr. Diana Wiley.
Hey, KCCN listeners, a cookie for your thoughts?
Good morning and stay tuned. In studio with us is Wally Amos of Famous Amos fame and the author of The Cookie Never Crumbles, Inspirational Recipes for Everyday Living.
Welcome to this program, Wally Amos. We have another person who's sort of a surprise guest who'll come on in just a little bit, and I'll introduce him, Wally Amos. Wally, you've chosen cookies as a personal metaphor.
Yes, I have in my new book.
Yes, in your new book. A Cookie Never Crumbles, and it's a wonderful book. And we're going to be talking about your new book. This is number what for you?
Number five. I've written a handful of books.
A handful of books. Okay.
A friend told me that wasn't funny, but it was clever.
Which was the thumb page?
So we'll be, I think your book is full of deliciously filled metaphors. And
thank you.
And lots of recipes for life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just a little bit of background on this very happy man sitting with us this morning. You've had many chapters in your life, and to pick a couple of them in the middle, you were considered a music industry genius.
Oh, really?
Yes. I did my homework.
First time I've heard that, but I'll accept it, okay?
He discovered the scale.
And you worked for the William Morris Agency.
Yes, I was an agent for William Morris. I was a personal manager.
Yeah.
I was in show business for about almost 14 years.
Yes. And you were their first black agent.
I was. Right place, right time, right color.
Right.
I got the job.
Yes. And then you chucked it all to sell gourmet chocolate chip cookies as Famous Amos in 1975.
Right.
And you became one of the most recognized corporate spokesmen in America. And then you lost possession of your own name.
What a silly thing to do, Wally. I did.
And that must have been in terms of your own identity, because you were so tied into Famous Amos.
Well, no, it wasn't really, because it was a learning experience actually, and it was a growing experience, because it really positioned me to see that my identity really wasn't Famous Amos, that my identity was that as a child of God, and that I wasn't. And the lawsuit was not over Famous Amos. I lost the company. That was one issue to deal with. But the lawsuit was over my name, Wally Amos. And I just realized that that's what people call me. But Wally Amos is not who I am. It's just a means of identification. So you move on to the next thing.
And the next thing for you, you've gone on to promote literacy and self-esteem and other products such as Uncle Wally brand of no fat muffins.
Well, regular muffins also now.
Okay, good. Yeah. Are they in Hawaii yet?
It's Sam's. It's the only location. We're in Sam's clubs nationally with our product. Matter of fact, I leave Monday for Dallas. Sam's is opening their 500th club store in Fort Worth, Texas on the 31st. And so I'm going to, and they're really promoting literacy also, so I'm going to be a part of that big celebration they're having.
So really a great place for you to have your muffins with that kind of, that's very good exposure.
No question.
So in other words, our in-studio guest this morning, Wally Amos, has been around the block a couple of times, and you have lots of advice on getting from here to there with minimal stress. And I think you have so many recipes for happy living in your book.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the Tao of cookies, the Tao.
The Tao of cookies.
Tao.
Yes.
Geez, you'd think I'd know how to pronounce that. Tao.
Well,
yes.
Tao. That means that Italian restaurant should be Madao's.
Master, shall I?
Yes, yeah, shut up, Grasshopper.
This is going to be a fun morning.
You are a psychotherapist, and Billy is just a psycho.
We go together like
we're going to quote you.
We go together like breaking and entering. Like cabbage and toast.
Back
to the program.
I have known Sage for a very, very, very long time, and I love him.
I know. If he makes you a little crazy sometimes.
Doesn't dismiss him from being crazy.
He met me when I weighed 125 pounds and smoked 3 packs a day. The first thing he said when he saw me in studio was, "Hey, Willie, you forgot your ass." Look at that. You got no ass. And he was right. Now I ballooned out to 150. So I have a donkey now.
Hey, are we having fun yet?
Oh, we got to have fun. At least have to get up if you're not going to have fun.
All right, so the Tao. And here I remember how to pronounce this. The Tao. You have a Tao recipe for life.
Yes, yes. Well, briefly, there's a story here. Really about a Taoist farmer who a series of events happened, and every time something would happen, it looked like it was disastrous, and the neighbors would come and say, "Oh, that's terrible, how are you going to get by?" And he said, "Oh, well, maybe," you know, and that just went on and on and on. And life is like that, you know, things happen and they're neither good nor bad. And the final recipe says, start with a large measure of faith. Know that you're here for a purpose, whether or not you understand specifically what it is. Add a hearty cup of acceptance. Whatever happens to you happens for a reason, and there is a lesson to be learned. Stir in a spoonful of patience. Trust in the abundance of the universe and the wisdom of God. The final ingredient is a generous sprinkling of balance. Stay equally centered in the face of either extraordinarily good or bad fortune. The beauty of this recipe is that it lasts and lasts. And last, and last,
and last,
and last.
And it says it all. And if people could just bring those ideas into their lives would be much happier.
I think that the big mistake that people make when things happen that don't look good is that they focus on the problem, they focus on what has happened, rather than just evaluating that, and it doesn't take long to do that, and then moving on and looking for the answer or the solution. Because that's the only way you're going to get past what has happened.
Now, somebody else in the studio who knows quite a lot about this concept is my very good friend, Patrick Brent, who, among other companies, has had his own cookie company. Tell us about that, Patrick.
Well, it's hard to... The story about Laura Todd cookies and Laura Todd bakeries pales when I'm sitting next to one of my longtime heroes, Wall Amos.
Yeah.
You should know that from long before I started the bakeries, I was an enormous fan of Wally's and watched his career and had purchased many, many of his cookies. And then my grandmother, who had sold cookies in a little town called Mount Pleasant, Iowa, after she passed away, I resurrected her old business and ended up with a handful of bakeries in America, mostly in California, one in Chicago, one in London, and 10 in France. In
fact, that's spreading out.
That's right. That we put many of the... things that I've read Wally's books and many of the stories are similar experiences we had, because it's like any new thing when you start, it's very difficult to get
going. But you confessed you used margarine, not real butter.
No, he used butter. I use margarine. No.
Oh, I got it reversed.
But he got 10 bakeries in France, and if I thought this, oh my God, these are good, and they're American. What should we do?
Actually, though, there's many stories in the book, though, about how buying the margarine or butter individually and unwrapping it to make sure there's no paper in the mix.
Yeah.
There's a whole series of people don't realize to make a really great cookie like Wally has. There's an awful lot involved.
There's a lot involved. And we on one of Wally's chapters, Starting from Scratch, that chapter you told me, Patrick, really resonated for you because, and let's go to the page here. And
all
maybe
the part where in order to make dough.
Yeah, about, no, that's not that part. This has to do with determination and energy because... we were talking, you and I were talking about what it takes to be an entrepreneur, and you said determination and energy are the two key qualities.
Well, the two, one of the quotes I got, there was a quote originally by the founder of McDonald's that it was told by a friend of mine, a Marine colonel in San Francisco named Chuck Volk, told me that determination and determination above all is omnipotent.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, determination is important. You have to be determined. You have to really want it. You have to make that decision, you know, at the beginning. Also, you can't be mealy-wheely about it.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
I mean, when I started Famous Amos, it didn't matter what happened, didn't matter what anybody said. I was determined and committed, you know, to open one store selling chocolate chip cookies, not a chain of stores, but just one.
I can identify with so many parts of your book because there are many times when you're out of money,
mm-hmm.
you had no logical or financial reason to go on with step number three or four,
right.
but you just ignored all the facts and kept going.
Well, you have to keep going because...
That's determination.
That's determination. But also, I mean, it's so basic that the only way you fail is to quit.
That's right. You can't.
If you continue to move forward...
One step at a time.
Ultimately get there, and it might not, you know, the final destination might not look like you had wanted it to look, but it'll be what it's supposed to be, and it'll be okay.
So at the end of your starting from scratch chapter,
yes.
You have, in addition to energy, well, you don't have determination in there, but it's all implied. Mm-hmm. You have focus, keep your eye on the prize.
Absolutely.
And preparation and confidence. If you do your homework, you will be more likely to convince the senior chefs to give you a chance at more ambitious dishes.
Of course. That's proving yourself, too, you know.
Sure it is.
Gaining your credibility as you go along.
It's preparation, you know, doing your homework.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Courage and faith, and you've got the ultimate cookie god.
But that courage and faith, dare faith, dare to put yourself in challenging situations and trust that you'll have what it takes. That reminds me of when I, the very first batch of cookies that I made at Famous Amos, you know, was prior to this grand party that I was having on March 10th, and I was the only one who knew how to make cookies. So I was going to make chocolate chip cookies and butterscotch chip. So I figured, well, I'll make butterscotch chip first because I got to make chocolate chip because that's what it's all about, you know.
Sure.
If I make chocolate chip first, I can blow off the butterscotch. You know, if I start with butterscotch, then, you know, I'm going to have to come back. And that's exactly what happened. I started with butterscotch. I mean, and it's just me throughout the night standing there with a little teaspoon, putting one teaspoon of batter at a time on this tray.
Throughout the whole night.
Oh, God, man. And then finally I said, well, you know, I better get off this butterscotch and get on to some chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, Billy.
I still remember back when I met you in the old days, about 1977.
Yeah.
I said, how'd you get into the first place? And you said you used to make them at home and bring it to work at
Absolutely.
William Morris.
Absolutely.
And somebody would say, where's my cookie? They'd say, where's my greeting? That was the greeting, fool. Make me the cookie. That's when you decided that, ooh, maybe this is better.
Well, people would always see me and they would, you know, ask for cookies like, you know, I was supposed to be home just making cookies for them. You know?
That's your job.
Yeah. But courage and faith, you know, place yourself in an uncompromising situation that's going to force you to succeed.
I loved your chapter on the loving cup, which talks about unconditional love. And this is a hard concept for a lot of people to get, but it makes all the difference in the world.
Well, it does.
You know, ideally, as adults, we in our childhood were unconditionally loved by our parents. And if we were, it gave us a terrific start.
Not all of us were unconditionally loved.
No,
by
I know.
Parents.
And in fact, you have a story about your mother and how you came to terms with her and what a difference it made when you did decide to unconditionally love her.
Yeah, that's what the loving cup is about. My mother was a domestic worker, and as I grew older, you know, I was kind of ashamed of her doing that kind of work and wanted her to, you know, be something different. But she couldn't. Yeah, that was what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And then years later, you know, my mother was she had a negative part to her. You could pay her the greatest compliment, and she would say, oh, it ain't nothing about it. I mean, she would just not accept the compliment. So I always, you know, I spent much of my life trying to change her to be the way I thought she should be. And finally, I had an epiphany.
An epiphany.
And I realized that my job in life was really just to love her and not to change her or wish that she were different. And I tell you, and I remember where we would talk, and she would say something that I thought might be negative, and I would just kind of just turn it into a positive and keep
reframe
talking
it.
Rather than trying to change her. And I started the habit of every time we finished speaking, I would just tell her that I loved her. I'd say, "Hey, Mom, I love you." And after a while, she starts saying, "Well, I love you too, baby."
Yeah.
And but my mother changed in the process also.
Of course. And, yeah. Of the thousands of couples I've seen over the years, mm-hmm. I've often educated the couples to the idea of the change first principle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you change first,
yes.
And then
yes.
In the dynamics of the relationship, the
right.
other person
the other
is going to change
has
too.
To change. No,
and
I just wanted to quickly say, if your job in life was to love her, and you realize sometimes when somebody you find difficult to be with, loving them unconditionally is a job, because love
yeah.
can be hard work.
Oh, no question about it.
And hard
I,
work has its rewards.
Yes.
Before
yes.
we go to the break, I just wanted to add one final thing about unconditional love, and it has to do with loving yourself.
Yes. Oh, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all
it
about.
It has nothing to do with the other person, actually.
And if you make a choice that doesn't please your mate, your friends, your mother,
mm-hmm.
or whoever,
right.
the world will not fall apart.
No.
The people who truly love you want you to love yourself.
No question about it.
Yeah.
No question about it.
And on that loving note, we're going to go to our first break of the morning. Please stay with us.
The Wiley and Sage Show will be right back after these words from our sponsors. Please stay tuned.
Hey, the Voice of Labor radio show, sponsored by the HGEA, the Royal State Group, and the Dietrich Insurance Company, has come to KCCN. Join us Wednesday evenings at 6:30 for talk about the events that impact working people. If you agree that all work has dignity and that working people are the strong foundation of our Hawaii, we're the show for you. Your comments and questions are always welcome on The Voice of Labor, Wednesday nights at 6:30 here on KCCN, 1420 AM.
Hey there, everyone. I'm Kevin Hashiro. The Waihina basketball season is in full swing, and Vince Gu's team is prepared for another 20-win season. Join me for the Waihina at home and Scott Robbs for them on the road as Hawaii makes its run to the big dance in March. Don't miss all the fast breaks, blocks, and buckets from now to the postseason. And it's right here on your home for Waihina basketball, 1420 AM KCCN.
The Wiley and Sage Show is back right now, and the phone lines are open. Feel free to call us at 296-1420, or if you're on the cell, *1420 or #1420. Yes, on this beautiful Saturday morning, a reminder for those of you who have not seen the show, The Vagina Monologues is now playing through February 3rd at the Hawaii Theater, showcasing two different stars. Mackenzie Phillips now from One Day at a Time. She's in the first week, and Loretta Swit from MASH, yes, Hot Lips, will be in The Vagina Monologues. Is there more than meets the eye? For that reason, presenting Chance the Theatricals is... Now stop that! Oh, Rochester, cut that out. For that reason, presenting Jam Theatricals is responding to public demand by offering a Hanaho special. Anyone who brings their ticket stub from any performance January 22nd through 27th, when Phillips joins fellow cast members Michelle Shea and Amy J. Carl to the Hawaii box office at 1130 Bethel Street, can purchase a ticket for any show during the second week at a $5 discount. All tickets are subject to availability, not available with any other discount performance. Your mileage may vary if rash persists to your doctor. Some assembly required. For more information, call the HCD box office at 528-0506. And now, back to our hostess with the mostess. She's alive, not a ghostess. Here's Diana.
Thank you, Bill.
That's more than meets the eye.
Yeah. Now, actually, we have seen The Vagina Monologue.
Oh, yeah.
And it's provocative, of course. It's sometimes startling. Not for me as a board-certified sex therapist, but
mm-hmm.
for a lot of men in the audience, and it's very illuminating. It was startling for Patrick.
Patrick, did you participate in the cheer? Give me a seat!
What? This show's already hit 3 Tulsas. No more.
No, I didn't say Tulsa.
For those of you who are tuning in just this week for the first time, welcome. And last week, we were preempted the last 15 minutes by Tulsa playing against the Wahinis, and what did you say, Bill?
I am not a crook.
No.
I just noted that Tulsa spelled backwards is a slut, but reclaim the word. If there's a stud, the feminine equal of a stud is a slut.
And right? That's not fair.
No,
actually,
I mean,
because
in the positive light.
Because Yeah, I suppose.
Hey,
anyway, let's not cut off on that.
Okay, sorry.
We're talking with Wally Amos this morning and Patrick Brent.
Notice how she steers us back to the focal point.
That's my job.
So good at that.
So we're talking about Wally Amos's most recent book. This is number 5, The Cookie Never Crumbles, Inspirational Recipes for Everyday Living. And the guy who wrote Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh, said, read this book and come to know the truths that will bring you the simple experience of the greatest thing life has to offer, happiness. And your friend Neil describes you as really a happy man, and that's my experience of you, too.
He wrote a really nice foreword. Actually, the idea, the title for this book came from Neil Donald Walsh. Yeah, we were having
great title.
And he said, I got a title for you. And he wrote it on a yellow sheet of paper, and I said, hey, that sounds good. Let me put a book around it, yeah.
Yeah, and then you did because of that. So he says here, what makes Wally extraordinary is not anything that he has done, but what he is. And I can say what he is in one word.
Happy.
Okay, we were talking... And listeners, we're going to open up the phone lines in the next segment, and we have a book to give away, and it is Wally Amos's book, The Cookie Never Crumbles.
And the number, of course, is 296-1420.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
296, is that 1400?
1420. 1420.
All right.
Oh, 1420.
You know what?
Oh, see, that's I repeated it because someone might be hearing it.
I said we would open up the phone lines, but you know we've got Paula on hold. She's an eager person this morning. Good morning, Paula.
Hi, I didn't realize it wasn't going to be till later that you opened the phone lines. Mr. Amos, I want to say that in regard to your mother having been a domestic, I want to point out, I know you're a spiritual man, and I'm such a book lover. I want to point out a book that's in Hamilton Library. I think it's still in the collection. It's called The Sacred and the Feminine Toward a Theology of Housework. And it gets into talking about sacred space, symbology, happiness, ritual enactment, cosmization, caretaking, waiting, the boring and the mystical.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some of the chapters.
Right.
And also, and this isn't exactly in line with your... discussion. You're such a positive, inspiring man.
Thank you.
I want to point out that it was mentioned that you're the first black man to work for the William Morris Agency. I just want to point out that I know from science that in the human skin and hair, black doesn't exist. It's just dark brown.
Right.
And they're black, to say black and white is polarization.
Mm-hmm.
We so-called whites are really beige when we look at ourselves. And when we look at people we call black or other ethnic groups, if we really look with the eyes of an artist, we can see cinnamon, we can see umber, we can see sepia, and all these different tones. And I've seen you many times before. You're a good-looking man,
Thank you very much.
I don't recall exactly what shade you are.
I am actually several shades. My face is actually darker than the rest of my body. But black is just a term that is used to identify
African-American
people. I mean, so we're all confused about what color we are.
I think
and
in God's
it
eyes,
matter.
We're
well,
all
I,
people
yeah,
color.
I think European-American or Euro-American or Afro-American would be more appropriate terms.
I think we should get rid of all of them and just call each other people. So.
And Paula,
absolutely.
Paula. Anyway. We're all from Mother Africa anyway.
Thank you, Paula, for calling in this morning.
Right. Thank
happy
you.
Saturday.
Yeah, happy Saturday. And speaking of happy Saturday, later today, starting at noon and going through 6 p.m., we have Aloha Peace Day. Tell us about that, Wally. You're going to be there.
I'm going to be there. Massive ceremony.
I mean, you really have an important role.
It is really an idea, just promoting peace with all the violence and all the terrorist activity and stuff that's going on. This is an effort to galvanize the community. And today's the kickoff of a campaign that will go through April 4th, just encouraging people to find ways to be peaceful, to promote peace, nonviolence in their own communities, in their homes, wherever they can. And there'll be a lot of entertainment and a lot of people that will facilitate doing that at Kapiolani Park today.
There'll be music.
There'll be music. There'll be dancing. There'll be people who are involved in the community in one way or another in peaceful efforts. There's hold on a second. I got a list of people that are going to be here. Beth Terry, who's author and inspirational speaker. Anita Hall.
Oh, I love Anita. Oh,
every time
voice.
I say Anita Hall, people say, oh, I love Anita Hall. You know?
She's a friend of mine, and yeah. She has the most fabulous
she's really
voice.
Fantastic.
Plus, she's beautiful inside.
Yeah. But Mary Gabrielson, who's the Minister of Unity at Diamond Head, it was really this whole idea of this campaign really came from Mary, so obviously she will be there. Mayor Jeremy Harris. Who has been very supportive. He will also be present today. Anyway, there's going to be a lot of people and a lot of activities going on, and I just encourage people to come down. Dr. Joyce Hunter, who's a PhD, she's a pioneer in the 70s for abused women.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be discussing that aspect of life, and y'all come.
Wally, I've got a question that it's been bothering a lot of people. I know that we are at war with people who seem not to have an ounce of love in their hearts. For example, Osama bin Laden saying he wants to war on all Americans, men, women, and innocent children.
Mm-hmm.
How do you open the heart of someone who has such a professed, twisted hatred that he wants to murder every one of us?
Beside
prayer or miracle?
If I had the answer to that,
that's why we're meeting this afternoon.
But I think a starting point is to realize that peace is possible, mm-hmm. and that love is possible. And here in Hawaii is about love. I mean, yeah. This is the love state. This is the aloha state. And so if you can get people to begin to think in that consciousness, to be more conscious of getting along with one another, of supporting mm-hmm. one another, of loving one another, of just being in a peaceful consciousness, then that's the starting point. And so the idea today is to promote peace, to promote mm-hmm. love. But each of us has to participate. You know, it's not my responsibility, it's not yours, it's everybody's responsibility. Mm-hmm. And the idea of this campaign, if you want to call it that, is encouraging everyone, you know, that lives in Hawaii to find ways that you can love someone, that you can support someone, find ways that you can be peaceful within yourself. Ralph Waldo Emerson had a great quote. He said that who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. So, you know, we're not encouraging people to make speeches and to, you know, go around telling somebody what to do. But if we all act in peaceful ways, if we all demonstrate kindness to one another, that's really powerful.
That's very powerful.
You will. People will see that. I remember when Christine and I first moved to Hawaii, we stayed at the Esplanade, and we had a condominium up on the top floor and overlooked the pool area. And there were two gentlemen that every morning would come out, and their job was to straighten up the place and maintain it. And they had the chaise lounges. And they would line those little chairs up like soldiers right around the pool every single morning. Now, they knew that almost as soon as they finished, someone would come down and pull out their favorite chair, you know, in their favorite spot. But that didn't stop them from doing what they were relegated to do every single morning. Now, that just really impressed me that this 20-some years later, and I'm sharing that story now because it wasn't what they said that impressed me. It was what they did, what I saw them doing day after day after day. And if we can begin to demonstrate positive behavior, loving behavior towards one another day after day after day, others will see that and be inspired by it and be motivated by it and will follow.
No matter how many times these people try to mess up the world, we will always clean it up the next morning.
No question. No question. That's exactly what it is, you know. I don't care how bad someone is or how much you might hate me, I'm going to love you anyway.
And do, in addition to all of that, do random acts of kindness.
Please.
Yes, please. Yeah. We're going to go to our next break, and we'll be right back. Oh, let's go into the break.
A little music, you think.
Yeah, a little music,
Billy,
Wally.
Company is there.
Two. A one, two, three, four.
Wiley and Sage Show will be right back after a brief message, so please stay tuned to KCZN 1420 AM.
Tune in to Hawaiian Automotive 101 this Saturday and every Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCCN 1420 a.m. It's Hawaii's premier car care radio show. Tune in if you have questions about your car or just need help in getting honest answers to your automotive concerns. Host George Nita talks about car care and answers your questions live. Whether it's new car care warranties or how to keep your car running and looking its best, Hawaiian Automotive 101 is a show for you. That's Saturdays at 11 on KCCN 1420 a.m.
The Wiley and Sage Show is back right now, and the phone lines are open. Feel free to call us at 296-1420, or if you're on the cell, star 1420 or pound 1420. A reminder, ladies and gentlemen, Vagina Monologues playing now through February 3rd at the Hawaii Theaters. For tickets, call the box office at 528-0506. An interesting show which will open a lot of eyes.
Indeed. I'm here this morning with Wally Amos. Many of you know him, and his book, The Cookie Never Crumbles. It's a wonderful book with, he's made the cookie his metaphor about life. And a chapter that I really liked was Commitment Miracles. And Patrick Brent, my good friend, is in studio too. And you gave me, I loaned you this book to read, and then you said that there was something that really resonated for you here.
Yeah, I'll share my copy.
Okay, you can share his copy.
Because
it it resonated for me, too, and it'll... Oh, okay.
Let the record show the book is being passed across the table in the studio.
I'm not sure I'm the right person to be advocate of such intense romance and such a great relationship as Wally and Christine have, but I stopped at this point in the book, and I... underscored it because I thought it really, really captured a very special moment that that everybody should, I guess, pursue eventually in their life. And the background was that Christine and Wally had gone to a marriage counseling type of session where you were trying to renew your love and commit to each other. And Wally went through an awful lot of because Wally had had numerous romances and he had been kind of a lover of women in the past.
A scoundrel.
And maybe even a commitment phobic.
So, several callers have mentioned already how good looking he is, and people don't know that now because he's not allowed to use his face on the food products. But at that very special moment between Christine and Wally, he made a decision to turn to her, and he took her hands and he held both her hands, and he said, "Right then and there, I turned, I took her hands and looked into her eyes and said, 'I love you, Christine, and there is nothing you can do that would ever cause me to leave you or stop loving you.'"
That's very powerful. Christine is in the studio. I don't think she's going to come on mic, though. but just as Patrick read that, there was this most loving look between Wally and his bride, Christine, and it was lovely to see. And you had talked about, you write in the book, Wally, about Commitment Miracle, and once you kind of got that and you had kept your eyes open in your two marriages before that had failed. And I think that a lot of people will say the success of my second marriage or even my third marriage has a tremendous amount to do with the failure of the first or the second. Because... we learn. We should, keep our eyes open.
But life is it's just a learning process, you know, and you have experiences so that you can learn. Some time ago, I created the phrase growing through life, growing through your life experiences, as opposed to just going through them, you know. And the idea is that...
Growing.
Growing through them, because you have to learn something. It's like school. School is never out. You know,
that's right.
The form changes. But school is ongoing, and we just, you know, but you do have to have the eyes open, and you do have to be looking for those lessons. Otherwise, you'll just walk right by them. When you quit learning, there's no reason to still be alive. You know.
Yeah.
when you reach that point when you know it all, then you transcend somewhere else.
It's what we do when we think we know it all that makes the difference.
Yeah.
And And, oh, Bill saw an article about you, and this is a recent publication.
Yes, this is the latest issue of the Costco Connection, in which Wally has a column.
I have been writing that column going into my eighth year now.
Good for you.
You were talking about the, you don't learn to grieve, grieving discovers you, and you get over it. It's like the September 11th. You, like virtually all of us, were overcome with this. We started shaking and sobbing and crying and said, we don't even know these people, but we knew what was happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you talked about then on September 30th, my oldest sons, Michael and Gregory, lost their mother, who for months had lived with cancer. They both grieved in their own way. Yes, grieving is also very personal. The following has helped me to deal with grieving. I hope it helps you, too. Would you like to read it, actually, for us?
Sure, I'd be happy to. It's I've been writing this column for almost 8 years now, and my email address is here, which, by the way, is where my website is listed, and that's wallyamos.com, anyone wishes to contact me. But I've gotten more responses from this piece, from this article, than any article I've ever written. There's a there's a poem called There Is No Death, and I discovered, I don't know who had written it, but so many people have responded.
Yeah.
And one person told me the author of this, and it's Henry Scott Holland. I'm standing on the seashore. A ship at my side spreads her white sails to the morning breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She is an object of beauty and strength, and I stand and watch her until at length she is a speck of white cloud, just where the sea and sky come to mingle with each other. Then someone at my side says, there, she's gone. Gone where? Gone from my sight. That is all. She is just as large in mast and hull and spar as she was when she left my side, and she is just as able to bear her load of living weight to her destined harbor. Her diminished size is in me, not in her. And just at the moment when someone at my side says, there, she's gone, there are other voices ready to take up the glad shout. There she comes, and that is dying.
And I think about someone who's gone, has just gone on ahead.
Right. Yeah.
And many of the listeners who followed me from KHVH know that my husband, Charlie Peach, died very suddenly a year and 9 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I took a month off after his death and came back on the radio for the first two Saturdays with Bill Sage's sister, Ann Sage, who's a grief counselor.
Well. Sure. Mm-hmm.
And the response I got from the listening audience was incredible, because we don't talk enough about death and dying in our culture.
And it's something we all have in common.
And we all have, we're all going to have somebody that we love die.
And then we're going to die, too.
And we're going to die, too.
And when you do that, somebody's going, here he comes, come on, run towards the light.
Run towards the light.
Yeah,
that's a nice thought, actually.
No question. No question.
And the grief, no question about it, is a process.
Mm-hmm.
It is a process.
Yeah.
And just when you think you've gone through all the stages, back you're...
Right. But grieving processes you. You know, we always use the phrase, well, you have to process grieving. But grieving is in charge.
And,
and you have no control over it. I mean, grieving is processing you. And what I discovered when my mother passed away was that I just had to let go. And as it happened, as those grieving periods came into my life, I just had to ride them out.
And go with the feeling.
You have to.
Because with grief, it's either a pay me now or pay me later kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you don't go through and allow yourself all of the feelings and process it, maybe do some writing, gather around those that love you and can support you.
Right. It's a purging, you know. You're getting all that out of you and going on to something better.
Somebody I knew who was into computers said, think of the human being as a computer, as a hard drive, and you keep crashing a lot. But what grieving is doing is it keeps rebooting until you work again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good analogy. That's a very good analogy.
Yeah,
I like
great
that.
Analogy.
And you can't upgrade the computer. You just have to just keep rebooting.
Yeah.
It'll work again.
Absolutely.
Now, we're going to go to another chapter in Wally's book, and also, let's officially open up the phone lines. We've heard from Paula. She's in the running for the book that we're giving away this morning.
How do you determine who gets the book?
Well,
by having someone call 296-1411. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that my radio voice? That number again is 296-1420.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And we'll do a little drawing or something. Yeah. It depends on how many call in. But either with a question for Wally Amos or Patrick Brent, who's in studio, or myself, or maybe even Bill.
Oh, please, not Billy. Oh, no, not Billy. No, not Billy.
Only if they're brave enough.
The answer is 42.
So, but you might also have a comment. Yeah. I know when Paula called in, she had a lot of comments. Yeah. One of the things you write about is your watermelon hat, which is not on your head now, but I'm looking at it because you've got earphones on your head. But and then you have matching watermelon shoes.
I do.
So people looking for you in the park today won't have any trouble finding you.
Look for the guy with the watermelon. And I guarantee I will be the only one in the park with a watermelon hat on.
Yeah. And your beautiful wife, Christine.
Who does not have a watermelon hat.
No, she doesn't, but she paints your watermelon shoes.
Well, she designs them now. The watermelon shoe thing started with Christine painting them.
Yes.
And for years she did that, and then we found a shoemaker in Hollywood who makes shoes, and so he makes shoes from her design. A funny story about the shoes
Barbara Bush.
That's in The Cook Who Never Crumbles. We visited the White House at one time and for a state dinner, and the president, you know, I had on a tuxedo, but I still had on painted shoes. And he says, Wally, you know, I really like those fancy shoes. I said, well, Mr. President, you know, my wife Christine designed them, and she'll be more than happy to paint a pair for you. He says, well, I don't think so, but maybe for Barbara, you know. So we just kind of let it go. We came back home, and a couple of weeks later, I'll go to the post office and get the mail, and there's this envelope hand-addressed to Christine from the President of the United States.
Ooh.
Well, I was at the post office. Christine wasn't, and I was really curious. So, you know, I broke the law and opened her mail, and enclosed inside were a pair of white kid tennis shoes from George Bush. With a note to Christine, again handwritten, asking him to please paint these.
Christine, sure would be nice if you put some watermelon on these shoes. I want some kinder, gentler feet.
So Christine did paint the shoes, and we sent them back to Barbara. She sent a wonderful note. Some months later, I had to go to Washington for a literacy conference, and all the participants, I told them, you know, when you see Barbara Bush, ask her where her painted shoes are, because she's not going to have them on. Well, we finally get to the White House, and Barbara calls me in the back before, you know, her address to the participants. And I'm talking to her, and she looks down, and she sees my shoes. She says, you want me to put on my watermelon shoes, don't you? I said, Barbara, get out of there. You're the first lady of the land. I don't want you to put on watermelon shoes. She asked her assistant to go up and get her shoes. Came down, Barbara took those nice white pumps she had on and put on these watermelon shoes, and we propped our feet up and took pictures and whatnot.
And they were a nice offset to her little pearls.
Oh, her pearls in her red and white polka dot dress. I mean, it was just so incredible. And so then it's time for her to go speak, and I say goodbye, and I go out and take my seat. And I'm sitting almost in the back of the room, and Barbara Bush comes down, and she's walking down the aisle, and all of a sudden I yell out from the back of the room, look at those shoes! And everybody in the place cracked up, including Barbara.
Yeah, you write about this, but there was something that came out of, you were in the White House also when Reagan was there.
Yeah.
But the courage to be who you are.
Love it.
Do your little kazoo hail to the chief.
I mean, I played Hail to the Chief to George Bush. I had Reagan, when he was president, autograph a dollar bill. For United Way, Aloha United Way, where we auctioned off. Matter of fact, I was out of town, and Christine attended the event where the dollar bill was auctioned off. But you know, the idea is, for me, I am uncensored. You know, I mean, I am Wally Amos, and if an idea is there, it has to come out. You know, and it doesn't matter what the setting is. I have to be Wally Amos, and I find that really works every time for me. You know?
To be your own authentic self.
I can't be anybody else, but I really am very good at being Wally. And so I practice being Wally every day.
And you can still be respectful.
Oh, absolutely.
Like respectful to the office, but also to be playful and to have some fun.
Right.
There was no need for alert Secret Service men to wrestle Barbara's shoes to the ground.
No.
You know, I was thinking we're going to go to a break and our little theme song, Happy Feet. We need some watermelon shoes, Billy.
Oh, watermelon shoes.
Stay tuned for more of Wiley and Sage right after these messages here on KCCN, 1420 AM.
Hi, I'm Ed Nishioka, publisher of Hawaiian Hard Drive. Join me and our tech expert, David Oshiro, every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 on KCCN, 1420 AM for Hawaiian Hard Drive on the radio.
We've got the latest on what's hot in technology, and we'll be featuring local tech companies and in-studio guests. So send your questions to radio@HawaiianHardDrive.com and win great prizes.
Join us every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 for Hawaiian Hard Drive on the radio. We'll talk about computers, business, the latest news, and answer questions right here on KCCN 1420 AM.
I'm Bobby Kern, inviting you to join us for exciting University of Hawaii Rainbow Basketball. The Bows are on the road again and looking to add to an already impressive conference record. Who will it be for the Rainbows this time? Maybe Haim Shimonovic. Could it be Tony Akpan? Find out as the Bows visit the Golden Hurricane of Tulsa. That's this afternoon, right here on Hawaii's Sports Leader, 1420 AM, KCCN.
The Wiley and Sage Show is back right now, and the phone lines are open. Feel free to call us at 296-1420, or if you're on the cell, *1420 or #1420.
Once again, that's 296-1420.
And now, here's Diana Wolf and Pat.
And Wally Amos and Patrick Brent. And we're going to talk about the truth about eggs, practical yolks, and...
yolks.
Yeah, Jody, betcha.
And Wally opens his chapter by saying, one of the hardest things in life is letting go. And I just wanted to add that when, as a mental health professional, sometimes I get the question, you know, how do you let go? Control is a difficult, a very difficult thing for many people, because they fight it, they'd like to continue to have control. But for many people, letting go feels like giving up. And when you, when you can let go, it means that you actually have sense enough to surrender that which you can't control and to honor what you can control, which is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Brent thought that the best one-liner of your book is right here in this chapter. And what is that, Patrick?
Well, you know, Wally had a few tough moments in his business, like we all do. No one starts a business idea without having some really bleak moments when they think they've got to make some adjustments. And Wally stated, quote, "You can't create dough without breaking some eggs."
And that's the truth, too.
It is the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. You have a great voice, Patrick. You know?
I told him that,
too. You ever considered a career in radio? I mean,
Perhaps. I'm actually thinking about doing a show from Tulsa with Bill Sage.
Chief Palindrome presiding.
Oh, we hope you're having as much fun out there listening as we're having here in the studio doing the program. So, Wally, say a little more about this chapter.
Well, let me share maybe the cook's note. At the end, which says, you know, you pull all these ingredients off the shelf when you know you'll be working with eggs. And here, focus. Be clear about what you want to accomplish and whether the circumstances surrounding you are actively helping you toward that goal. Decisiveness, you know, when it feels like you've got to move on, you've got to move on. You do it and don't look back. I mean, you know, people don't want to make waves. They want tiptoe around everybody, but when you decide something, you got to move with it. Self-confidence, you got to trust your instincts. It's really important. There's that little voice that's inside of you that's looking to get out, that's speaking to you, that's giving you advice. You must really follow that. And last, here's faith again. You'll notice that a lot of these recipes, faith is involved, and faith is like a real foundation in life. Know that when you break an egg to make dough, what may appear to be a destructive act is really part of the creative process.
And I underlined creative process. When you think it may appear to be a destructive act, destructive, but it's really creative.
It's really creative.
And you say just above there that eggs I have broken in my life have surprised me over and over again by reappearing in other excellent recipes.
Oh, no question about it. Yeah.
The metaphor brilliance in your book is...
Well,
great.
I must give lots and lots of credit to my co-author, Eden Lee Murray. She really helped shape this book and gave it a wonderful feel. She's a great lady, a wonderful writer, a wonderful author. And it's a neat friend, and she's an actress, a phenomenal actress, director, but she's a fine, fine human being.
So she helped your book take form.
Oh, no, she gave it form.
She gave it form.
You begin to wonder sometimes, Wally, when so many people who don't listen to their inner voice and don't get ahead, they spend most of their time listening to the outer voices telling them what to do. So
absolutely.
How do you know when to, how do you say, okay, outer voices, shut up, be polite about it, I've got to listen and move on?
Well, you know, what I have learned to do is I meditate every morning. Christine and I, you know, we do our meditation and our prayer time together. And that helps me to get in tune with that inner voice. And it's, you know, it's you just know, because it won't let you do anything else. I mean, it kind of guides you. It's almost as if it just kind of points you in the direction that you're supposed to go. But, you know, people know when they're doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing. I mean, you really do. You know your instincts. When you do something that is against your better judgment, you know it. You can feel it. And what I'm saying is, you know, follow those first instincts, you know, because so often we'll feel something, then we'll talk ourselves out of it. So that's not possible. That's not logical. But logic ain't got nothing to do with life.
I know, that's right. And so pay attention to those inner voices, your intuition.
That's where God is.
Yeah.
That's where God resides.
Yeah.
That still small voice that they call it in unity, that still small voice. Oh, I forgot to bring a daily word to you. You have to come to church tomorrow.
I think I will, actually. Yeah. That's where I first met Wally, at Unity on the Windward side.
Windward Unity, yeah. Windward.
And your minister,
yes,
Richard Levy, has been on this program twice.
Yeah, right. He's a neat guy, and I encourage everybody. We have two services tomorrow morning, 8:30 and 10:30. Come, Windward Unity.
Kailua. And he's just I can't believe it. We're almost out of time. It sounds like, since we didn't have any other callers, Paula, you are the winner.
Paula wins the book.
And so you'll sign it for her.
I'm going to sign the book to Paula.
And
Chuck can go outside and make a call.
Anyway, and Paula, you'll need to call back and give Joe your address so that I can send it to you. Well, in conclusion, it seems to me life keeps moving forward. The truth is, there's no better time to be happy than right now. Don't you agree, Mr. Happy Man?
No question about it. That's the only time you got.
That's right. Yeah. Because if not now, when? Your life will always be filled with challenges, and it's best to admit this to yourself and decide to be happy anyway. Here's a favorite quote. This is Alfred de Sousa. For a long time, it had seemed to me that life was about to begin real life. But there was always some obstacle in the way, something to be got through first, some unfinished business, time still to be served, a debt to be paid. Then life would begin. At last it dawned on me that these obstacles were my life.
They were your life, yes.
So this perspective then has helped a lot of people see that there is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way.
Life is what happens to you while you're waiting for something to happen.
That's it. And your whole life story has proven that time and time again.
And continues to do so.
I want to thank you, Wally.
Hey, Diana, thank you. What a treat this was. And Patrick.
And Patrick Grant.
Thank you, Wally.
You're welcome.
And,
very welcome.
Just love it.
Mr. Tulsa.
Now, I'm hoping to get an interview with Loretta Swit, who will be taking the Kinsey Phillips place. But even if I don't have an interview with Loretta Swit, we're going to talk about the Vagina Monologues, maybe with one or two of the other actresses. Michelle, I had a talk with her at a media party, and Michelle and Amy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're also going to talk about female sexuality in general. And I will put on my board-certified sex therapist hat and be behind this microphone next week as the expert. So you'll want to tune in. And all you guys out there, you sports fans who listen to ESPN during the week, please, it's very important to know more about women. When you know a lot about women, you can be a much better partner and
lover.
What
about those 49ers?
And remember, and remember, cookie in Hawaiian is ko'okie.
Rainbow Baseball begins January 30th on KCCN, Honolulu.